Please quiet your cell phones and all electronic devices as we prepare for worship today by listening to Diane's Prelude. I agree. Amen. That was wonderful. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. We were in Denver about a week and a half ago. Dave had ear surgery. He's doing fine. It wasn't a particularly painful surgery. It's supposed to clear up the echoing in his head and restore his hearing in that ear. They said it would be several weeks before we'd notice the difference, and so far we haven't noticed anything, so I assume we're right on schedule. But when we got back, we had a visitor out on our deck. We had a chicken. And so it was a warm day. I thought maybe the chicken's thirsty, so I took her out a dish of water, and she was very, very thirsty. So the next morning, we still had a chicken, so I mixed her up a little dish of oatmeal and lentils and sesame seeds and quinoa, and she was a very, very hungry chicken. So she just ate and ate and ate, and she just hunted and pecked around the yard, and so we still have a chicken. And she's a friendly little thing. If you go out the door and yell, chicken, she just comes running. She wants to be, she loves company. And Dave was sitting out on the deck yesterday on one of the deck chairs, and she flew up and she actually sat on the arm with him and kept him company. So I was thinking, you know, with the sermon series of Living Simply, we have a house with bookshelves that are packed. I have a smartphone. We have internet. I have a TV with way too many channels. But what is it that has brought me a lot of joy this last week? It's been a little red hen that runs around the backyard and sleeps on a shelf in the garage. So, life is funny. So if you would please register your attendance on the registration sheets at the end of the pews. Sign your name, pass it down, take note if anyone is new, and be sure to greet them. And if they're not new, greet them anyway. If you are new and visiting, please enter an email or a phone number so that we can contact you. And then please open your bulletins and have a look at the upcoming events on the green sheet inside. All Saints Sunday will be next Sunday. If you would like to include a loved one in the reading of the list of names, please contact the church office by this coming Wednesday with that individual's name, date of birth, date and year of birth, and the date and year of death. Our annual Thanksgiving dinner is November 20th, which is 3 weeks from today. There will be only one service that day at 10:10. There's a sign-up sheet out in the hall for side dishes and desserts, so I assume this is the usual. The church supplies turkey, potatoes, stuffing, and gravy. Okay, yeah, and then we just fill in with the rest. Church decorating will be after lunch, and so I want to take this opportunity to talk to you all about that. There's not a lot of people that stay to decorate, and so decorating takes a very long time for the people who do stay. So if you're thinking you really can't decorate or you don't have the time, just give us the little bit of time that you have. If you've got 45 minutes, stay and decorate 45 minutes. If you think you don't have much to offer, we have Christmas trees that you can sit down and decorate. So please stay so that we're not here all afternoon. Mike? I believe Mike has an announcement. I see a lot of people in orange. I wore orange in support today. So. Oh, it's up time. He wore blue.
Good morning and welcome to the patch. Good morning. When I saw Nicholas coming in, he had on an orange shirt. I said, he gets to make this announcement, but he declined. He said he had to take care of Mackenzie, and so we're doing it again today. But we're down to the last 2 days in the patch. I went around last night and counted the number of pumpkins we have. We have just a shade over 500. When we started, we had 2,100. So we have sold a bunch of pumpkins. As of last night, we have sold $19,389 worth of pumpkins. And we have also sold $404 worth of baked goods for the ladies CWF. There is a price break, I am told, at $20,000. And if we can make that price break, we will make an extra $720 for our share. So what I'm asking is, if you've bought a pumpkin, go buy another one. Or tell your friends, come over and buy a pumpkin. We still have the best selection in town still. We want to make that $20,000, and we're asking for your help. Yesterday was a big day. We had a pie contest in the morning. We had trunk and treat in the afternoon. We had, I believe, 8 or 9 that participated in trunk or treat. And I was one of them there, and I think I gave out 60 candy bars. So we had a pretty good turnout.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Yeah, you were there, I know. But I don't recognize you because you're in a different costume. But it went well, and it was well received. We did it from 2 to 4. I think next year we'll look at 2 to 3 because we had a lot of youngsters come through, but at about 3:05, it went dead. And I think part of that was because the Science Zone started their trunk and treat activities at 3 o'clock. So a lot of the town went down there. But let's get back to the pies, because that's what was the most fun. We had 16 pies. 5 of them were pumpkin. 4 of them were fruit or nut. And 7 of them were cream pies. We had 4 judges, 2 men and 2 women. And we will announce how it went. the runner-up for the fruit pie, which was a cranberry apple, was Martha Wallace. And her pie received 11 points out of a total of 16. The runner-up pumpkin pie was Wanda Leeling, and she received 14 out of 20 possible points. And it was interesting because both pumpkin pies that got first and second were traditional. We had some that had nuts on the top and crumbles and all kinds of things, but the two that won were traditional. And I have to say, I'm glad I wasn't judging because they all look good. And there's Wanda's. She's behind me. The judges said more than one time, I think we need to have another round of pie to check it out and try one more time. The runner-up for the cream pie category was Peg Jackson. Peg's pie was a Hammett House peanut butter, and she received 22 out of 28 of the for a score. First place for the cream pie was Sharon Lansing with Peaches in a Cloud, and she received 24 out of 28. Wow. Wow. The first place fruit pie was an apple pie with a crumbly top on it, and it was pretty nice, according to the judges, and it received 12 out of 16 points, and the winner of that is Rob Knaus. First prize for the best pumpkin pie got 18 out of 20, and that was also Rob Knaus. Wow. So Rob, I understand that the way this works is that the money that you just received, you get to keep what was the entry fee, and the rest of it goes to Jolene. And Rob has it very his family well versed on his pie making. Before we even started judging, Jolene's daughter Kristen came in to pick up Boy Scout popcorn. And as she's leaving with the last one, she says, "My dad turned in some pies. There's no need judging them because his are the best." And she speaks the truth. So with that, remember, go out and patch this afternoon or tomorrow. Buy an extra pumpkin. And you only have to see me one more week up here. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other announcements? Nope, okay. Our first hymn this morning is 91 in the Red Hymnal. You're going to sing the same tune you're used to, but today we're going to rock out. Diane has an amazing accompaniment for us. So please stand and greet those around you, and then be ready to be amazed.
The hype machine up there, Diane. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, ladies.
Join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin and up on the screen. Holy One, we confess that for a people called to rejoice, we can be a pretty glum bunch. We're called to love, but sometimes we bicker instead.
God of joy and wonder, touch our hearts.
Fill us with the joy that is heaven and rejoicing that is eternal, so that all who enter here will surely see the presence of the Lord. Please pray with me. O God, our resurrection and life, the promise of your new life in Christ is like a breath of fresh air in a dry and thirsty land. We have gathered as believers and as those who honestly are seeking the truth. Guide our worship this hour. O God, who makes all things new, speak to us as a whole people today. May your truth touch not just our intellects, but also our deeper yearnings of heart and soul. We bring with us our daily concerns, as well as our more eternal questions. May your new creation in us shed light upon our everyday walk. O God, who fed the multitudes with but a few simple loaves and fish, feed us now with the abundance of what you freely offer, that we might overflow with your goodness and joy right where we live. We ask this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now.
Cynthia?
You may be seated.
I missed a couple of announcements. Anyone using the church facilities should make sure that the doors are locked when they leave. The elevator and the kitchen door were left unlocked twice this past week. And with cold and flu season approaching, please check your pews before you leave and make sure you pick up any dirty Kleenex and throw it away. Thank you.
Our hymn of prayer this morning is number 304 in the Chalice Hymnal, Into My Heart. It's a simple prayer chorus. We'll sing it two times, the first time singing Into My Heart, the second time Into My Life. This time, our children can go to Sunday school with Mrs. Grooms. All of the Worship and Wonder and Young Disciples class will be together today, so just stay with Mrs. Grooms as you head downstairs. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns and joys. I invite you to look over those, and as we share them, reach into the pew rack in front of you and find a prayer card. There's a postcard that has a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank, so you can write a message to someone who needs to know we're praying for them, and then place that in the offering later in the service. Our card shower today is for Tom Dowler. Tom had a stem cell treatment on both knees. He will go without walking for several weeks while he's in a time of recovery. Tommy is going to be staying with his daughter up in Dayton because her home's all on one level, and he can have access to a bed and a shower without going up and down stairs. Prayers of healing for Tom and prayers of patience for daughters who are caregivers and wife who's continuing to work during this time. We lift up all those who are in treatment for cancer, thinking this morning especially of Matthew Trott, who needs our prayers, of Mark Steinle, who is in Denver. He's had 5 days of chemo. The hope is for that to be followed by a procedure this week, and then he will stay in Denver for an extended period. Carol Sage asks prayers for her son-in-law, Neil Dell, who is in a great deal of pain and needs back surgery. Carrie Gross asks us to pray for a friend, Deb Marsh, who's been diagnosed with cancer. They found a 6-inch mass near her uterus. She's been flying back and forth to Tulsa for chemo treatments, and Deb is unable to work because of her health, and her husband's now laid off from the oil industry. So a time of real struggle for their family. We continue to pray for Jessica Steele as she deals with neuropathy, with health and life issues. Prayers for Dave, prayers that in the weeks to come, he'll tell a difference from that ear surgery. We rejoice that Monica Decker was at chapel this morning. Continue to pray for her health and strength. We pray for Amber as she recovers from her foot surgery. Prayers for Terry Taylor's granddaughter, Lanisa, and a little baby girl born early who is doing well. Prayers also, the Woods family would like us to pray for the Keller family. Their second child, Lincoln, was born significantly early, and prayers of health and strength for the baby and for the whole family. Marie Robertson is out of Elkhorn and back home. Prayers of courage for her. The missionary we're lifting up today is Mark Bale, who serves in Lesotho. And our regional prayer partners are the members of Mount Air Christian Church in Lakewood, Colorado, led by lead pastor Reverend Ruben Rodriguez. There is a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign and send greetings to them. This is the fifth Sunday of the month. Our broader church, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, is encouraging us on fifth Sundays to promote General Assembly. It's the gathering of all the disciples in the U.S. and Canada. It will happen next summer, July 8th through 12th in Indianapolis. Registration is already open online. If anyone has any interest just in learning more, possibly going to Indy, please let me know. I'd love to chat with you. Are there other concerns today or joys that we want to share this morning? Mike.
This weekend, a lot of high school youth from our region were at Baldwin Creek down in Lafayette, Colorado. And I would ask for prayers for our safe journey back home today. We have one from our own church that went.
We are glad that Dylan is there to represent the state. Paul.
Speaking of one, next Saturday afternoon, Wilma Allen is going to celebrate her 100th birthday. Not many of us are as old as she is. But if you could just come for 10 minutes to meet this lady, I think she'd love it, and it'd be a great way for us to thank her.
Prayers for Lori, who was close to the end of her life due to cancer, and prayers for the family of Reed Schmidt, who passed away. Dave. Praise God that she is home. Prayers for a sandwich ministry participant whose mother died this week. Prayers for Nikki Fenwick in Houston, who's 14 and is having significant stomach issues and needs healing. Let's bring all these concerns and other prayers to the Lord as we share in a time of silence. Almighty and holy God, you are the Lord of life. We give you thanks, gracious one, for every blessing we have, for sun and rain, for moon and stars, for wind that scours the earth, for plants that grow and provide shelter and food, for the warm, gentle touch of a healing hand, for a friend's listening ear. O Heavenly Father, we pray for your healing spirit to descend upon all those that we have named and upon so many others who need hope in their lives. Lord, be with Tom Daller as he recovers from surgery. We pray for Dave that his hearing will be restored. Bless Amber and Courtney, Monica and Lanisa, and her little baby girl, come home. We pray for the Kellers and baby Lincoln, for Marie Robertson, Neil Dell, and Deb Marsh. God, we ask you to watch over Jessica and the struggles that she faces. We pray for a participant in the sandwich ministry whose mother died, and for others who are grieving, the friends and family of Reed Schmidt. We pray for Lori as she faces her last days on earth. Surround her with your grace and your peace, and comfort her, O Christ, with your promise of eternal life. Lord, we join with Pat in praying for her great niece, Nikki, asking for healing for her stomach. And God, we are so thankful for the opportunities to serve you, to tell others about Jesus, and to show others your love in concrete ways. We ask your blessing upon General Assembly next summer, and upon the participants this weekend at the CRMR Fall Youth Retreat. Watch over Dylan and other young people as they travel home today, that they may arrive safely. God, thank you for Mark Bale and the work he does in Lesotho, for Pastor Ruben and all the members of Mount Air Christian Church in Lakewood. We rejoice with Wilma as she and her family prepare to celebrate 100 years on earth. Oh God, through all the joys that we know and all the hardships of life, we give thanks for your presence with us, for your abiding grace. Lord, bless each one of us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday afternoon, we hosted Trunk or Treat in the West parking lot. Several church members came, and a few decorated the backs of their cars. We handed out candy to children from the neighborhood, from our Cub Scout troop and our preschool. It was a delight to watch the little ones, many of them dressed up like princesses and pirates, several as characters from Star Wars. Some were scary and some were funny. It was a delight to see the joy in the eyes of the children. In the back of my car, I had two cookie jars with two different kinds of candy, and as each child came up and said trick or treat, I offered them one piece from each jar. I had several mothers and grandmothers say, "How generous!" emphasizing to their children that they were getting not just one, but two pieces of candy and two different kinds of candy. And I thought, what a great role model for that parent to teach gratitude and generosity. Of course, there were other children who, upon being told one piece of candy from each jar, stuck in both hands and came up with fistful. Sometimes in life, we have needs that cause us to reach out to God with our hands wide open and grab as much as we possibly can. When we come to the Lord's table, physically, we take one little piece of bread and one little cup of juice. And yet, what an incredibly generous gift this is from our Lord. For that bread and that cup remind us again how he gave his all to forgive our sins and bless us with eternal life. This morning, spiritually, if you are so hungry you need both fists full, I invite you to embrace communion with your whole heart wide open. Let the Lord pour out upon you generous abundance of grace and mercy. We'll prepare for communion by singing together God is Here, the first three verses of number 280. We come to the table because we believe. All who believe in Christ are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper with us. Here at the table, we remember that night long ago when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Most merciful God, we give our thanks for the privilege of seeing the dawn of another new day. As we receive the bread and the cup, may we be reminded of the price Jesus paid by giving his life upon the cross so that we might have assurance of eternal life. Be in our midst, O God, guiding not only our thoughts, but our actions in the days that are to come. May our lives be lived for your glory. Amen.
One Lord.
Solomon was a king known for his great wealth, but he was even better known for his great wisdom. He knew that holding on to wealth was not profitable in the long run. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he advised, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again." Now, how crazy does that seem to us? To cast our hard-earned bread into the waters? Logic tells us to hang on to what we have. We earned it, it's ours, we'll use it for ourselves. And yet God commands us to do the ridiculous, to give and to give freely, to give in such a way that a return on the investment seems unlikely. And God, in his grace, blesses that faith with even more blessings. Each Sunday, we take the time to collect the offering or to cast our bread upon the waters. Many here place a tenth or more of their incomes into the care of the church stewardship. They expect nothing in return. They aren't purchasing anything for themselves with this act. I am sure, though, that many could tell you that God has blessed their faithfulness many times over. Won't you join in this act of sacrificial foolishness during this moment of stewardship? Cast your bread upon the waters. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings. Pray with me. Holy wisdom, we want to walk the path of generosity, but something holds us back. We are fearful. We don't know how much money we will need, how much money we can spare. You invite us to faithful living, guided by your Spirit, confident in your voice showing us the way. We give these gifts faithfully, joyfully, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the way in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
We continue reading from Philippians 4. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that anthem today, and Diane, for your wonderful music. Will you pray with me? Lord Christ, you are the one who strengthens us so that we can endure all things, whether our lives know want or are filled with plenty. Let us rejoice always. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the letter to the church at Philippi, Paul calls out individuals by name. It's apparent that he had a relationship with them. He knew what they were going through, what they had been through. There are times in Paul's letters to the early church that some individuals are lifted up as role models to inspire others. And there are other times that it seems Paul's letter might be a bit of a finger wag from a distance to remind folks to try to do a better job of following Jesus. In the case of Euodia and Syntyche, I'm not quite sure how to read it. Listen to the verse again. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. There are quite a few biblical commentators who look at this verse and say, well, obviously, there was something going on in the church at Philippi. There was some difference of opinion, some division in the body of Christ, and those two women happened to get caught up in the middle of it and were bickering with one another, so Paul calls them out. Shocking. Hard to imagine two women not getting along in church or any place else for that matter. There's another biblical commentator who looks at the same text and says, well, no, there's a different way to read it. This author contends that, in fact, the first interpretation we've heard is based on centuries of sexist opinion. He asks the question, if Paul called out two men saying, I urge you to be of the same mind, would we automatically assume that they were squabbling or quarreling with one another? Perhaps, he says, what happened was when Paul visited Philippi, Syntyche and Euodia were in such unity, they evidenced so clearly the mind of Christ that he wants them to be a reminder, an inspiration to the people around them. Oftentimes, the details of Scripture are hard for us to grasp through 2,000 years of history, and we're curious about those little details. So what was it that was exactly going on in Philippi? And who was Clement and the rest of the co-workers that Paul identifies? In the Greek, the word translated as co-workers can also be translated as co-athletes, those who are on the same team running for the same goal, perhaps using even the imagery of running a relay race in the ancient Olympics in Greece. Interesting to think about, because in those original athletic contests, the only competitors were men. And so Paul lifts up two women as co-athletes with him in the race to fulfill the gospel. He goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What a beautiful verse that is for us. It's all the more significant when we're aware that Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. Imagine telling people to rejoice when you yourself are locked in a jail cell. He had been arrested for proclaiming the gospel of Christ, for telling people that Jesus was the Messiah. He was held under lock and key, and in that setting, he focused on his relationship with Jesus, which led him to a point of joy and contentment. It's also in Philippians 4 where we hear Paul say, I know what it is to be in need and to have plenty. I know what it's like, he says, to go hungry and to be well fed and at all times to be content. His focus is not on his material comfort, on how much money is stocked away in the bank or the retirement plan. His focus for joy in life is Jesus Christ. For us as Christians, we are invited to rejoice always and to know that whether we have plenty or we're in a time where we're not sure how we'll pay the next bill, God is with us. And if Christ is in our lives, we have enough. Paul's admonition to be of the same mind, to have the same mind in ourselves that is in Jesus Christ, is a reminder to share with one another. In this season, as we draw close to our Stewardship Commitment Sunday on November 13th, each member of the congregation has received a pledge card. There are extra copies at the back of the sanctuary. You're encouraged to think about your family budget for the next year, to think about your tithe for the church if you're able to give a tenth of your income, to think about your offering, your pledge, what you'll be able to give to the Lord. It's a gift for us to know that in seasons when some families are struggling and can't give much to the church, others are blessed with abundance and can. To be of the same mind that is in Christ means to share with one another and trust that it will be enough. Following Paul's example of calling out individuals and talking about specifics in ministry, I'd like to just highlight a few specifics of this past week when I saw people share with one another, embodying in some way the body of Christ. Yesterday, as we've heard, we had trunk or treat in the parking lot across the street. Several weeks ago, I bought a big bag of chocolate candy preparing specifically for Trunk or Treat October 29th. I put the candy in my cookie jars at home, but I made a mistake. I bought candy that I like to eat. Not only that, I bought candy that Charles likes to eat, and he's not a big chocolate fan, but there were some Reese's Pieces, he's fond of those, some little baby Butterfingers. By the time yesterday rolled around, there was not much left. I had a small bag of Smarties, you know, those little rolled hard candies that are kind of tart. I had wisely not opened the bag, so I had that. I zoomed over to Loaf and Jug right before Trunk or Treat to get an iced tea to wet my whistle, thinking I'm also going to swing by the grocery store because the bags of candy are cheaper there than at Loaf and Jug. Coming out of Loaf and Jug as I went in was Linda Mosteller. I said, "Hey, Linda, you're on your way to Trunk or Treat?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm going to go to the store and buy candy. I'll be right there." She said, "Wait a minute. I've got lots." I said, "Are you sure? We don't know how many kids are coming." She said, "Trust me, I've got lots. I've got more at home for Monday night." So we shared candy. The kids came around the parking lot with such joy and delight. There were a few who wanted to come around a second or third time. Several of our members just generously smiled and nodded. "Yeah, I know, I'm seeing the same Darth Vader again. Go ahead, have another piece of candy." When they got to my car, I said, "I don't know if I'm going to have enough. Just take one piece." An interesting lesson for myself. In an attitude of scarcity or abundance, a pretty theological concept, I was parked right next to Linda Mosteller. If those kids took all my candy, I didn't have to go far to resupply. Now, in the morning after, I'm thinking to myself, I should have said, "Sure, take a handful, come again, get some more." Yesterday was also a day of sharing here at church. The sandwich ministry happened as it does every Saturday. PB&J sandwiches were made and added to the sack lunches that had been assembled early this week. They were taken down to King's Corner and every one of them, once again, given away. The Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts came to pick up their popcorn and take it out to sell. And then there was that event of all events, the pie judging contest. I don't know, Judy, is Dennis in a sugar coma this morning? He's hunting, burning off calories. Dennis was one of our judges, along with Raylan Heck and Erica Stupak, and an outsider with no connection to the church, a scout mom, was also a judge. My role was to carefully cut one slice of pie out of 16 pies, and then to figure out how to divide that one slice into four pieces with an equal amount of filling and crust, so that all the judges would be judging the same flavor combo. It was fascinating to watch how seriously they took their roles, how carefully they sampled the flavors, compared the appearance, and yet did not talk with one another because they wanted confidential judging to happen. Mike had established an elaborate point system. It was all very much above board. I can guarantee Rob Knaus did not pay off a single judge. However, I am hoping that he's going to sign up to bring a pie to the Thanksgiving dinner. That simple event got me to thinking about how generous it was of each and every pie baker to share of their time and energy to prepare a pie for someone else. Not only that, they didn't just pay for the stuff they put in the pie, they paid to enter the contest. Talk about generosity and sharing. You all received the fruits of their labors. During coffee hour today, you can purchase a slice of pie for $1 or a whole pie for $5. Mike, I'm thinking if two people want the same pie, maybe we could have a little bidding going on and raise that income for the pumpkin patch. The two lemon meringue pies that were entered have already been sold and they're gone. Sorry. You got to come early. There is something about preparing food for one another, being willing to share the fruits of our labors, that embodies the love of Jesus. Be of the same mind as Euodia and Syntyche, as these two women in the church. Paul said, I wonder if they were pie bakers, if they were the kind of gals who showed up at the potluck dinner like my mom always did when I was a kid, not just with one dish, but with multiple dishes, enough she was sure to feed her whole family plus others. Be of the same mind. Share what you have. On Friday, I drove down to Fort Collins for a visit with my rheumatologist, and on the way, I stopped at the Loaf and Jug in Cheyenne. I went inside to get a large iced tea to keep me awake for the drive, and as I was coming out, someone else was going in. What is it about Loaf and Jug and God and me this week? I met Terry Taylor, another Casperite, a member of First Christian Church. We spent 5 minutes conversing in Cheyenne. We were there at the same time. She was bubbling with energy and excitement because she was on her way to Denver to bring home Lanice's baby back to Cheyenne. It was a sacred moment, just a conversation on the sidewalk, but a conversation about how the baby's doing, how we've been praying for the family, and how thankful she is for your support. It was at that same Loaf and Jug when I was on my way back to Casper that I noticed another moment of ministry. I pulled in to fill up my car and noticed an older couple who pulled in front of the Loaf and Jug at such an angle that their vehicle blocked two parking spaces. I thought to myself, well, is the old guy driving in need of turning in his driver's license? I decided after the fact that he had in fact done that on purpose. His wife very slowly opened her door and eventually got a walker out of the car. It was obvious they'd done this routine before. He blocked two parking spaces so no one else would crowd his wife. It took her quite a while to get out of the car and move with her walker and finally step up the curb to go inside. In the meantime, I was done pumping gas and ready to go in. I used the restroom, took care of business, came out of the facility, and by that point, she had reached the counter and explained to the woman that she was paying for the gas her husband was putting in their car. I wondered to myself, how many decades has this couple done this routine with her paying for the gas and him pumping, and how that routine has changed through the years, so now he parks as close to the door as he can. I was getting back in my car by the time she was ready to come out. I noticed a young man, total stranger. I don't know if he lives in Cheyenne or if he was like me, a traveler just passing through. Teenager, young adult, kind of scruffy looking, wearing one of those t-shirts that maybe you wouldn't want a deacon to serve communion in on Sunday morning. He had a couple little tats expressing his personal identity and probably some facial jewelry. I don't know. There was something sparkling, nose ring, lip ring. I don't know. He came out of Loaf and Jug and held the door while Grandma very slowly moved her walker. He didn't seem to be in any hurry. He just waited for the 5 or 10 hours it took her to get to the curb, and then he closed the door gently behind her, walked around, and lifted her walker down off the curb and held it steady while she stepped down. It was a simple gesture of kindness, a moment shared between two total strangers. But to me, it felt like ministry. It felt like this young man was embodying the spirit of Euodia and Syntyche, being of one mind with the Lord Jesus, waiting to help someone who just needed a little extra time. In your week, when have you seen people share with one another? Share their time, their food, their patience, their lives. In the coming week, pay attention. watch for those sacred moments when you see the mind of Christ. And may we go and do likewise. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is number 625, Precious Name. If there's anyone here this morning who is longing to join the body of Christ, to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you're looking for a church home, we would invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the first and last verses, Precious Name, 625. I would remind you that we have a time of fellowship after worship downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's coffee hot and ready and waiting. There are beverages and pie to share today. I encourage you to stay and visit with one another. Seek out someone you don't know well and introduce yourself. As our benediction today, I share this blessing based on Philippians 4. Be glad in the Lord always. Focus your thoughts on all that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. And the peace of God, peace that goes far beyond anything we can comprehend, that peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. So go from here with confidence and joy to serve the Lord. Amen.